Well, let's start off with the two tax proposals. We've talked about them before. Leadership's plan to raise taxes across the board and add one new higher earner tax bracket, and then another from the more progressive side of the Democratic Party to add two new brackets. What's the scorecard on these plans? Which one actually winds up raising more revenue?
The one backed by Democratic leadership that hikes brackets across the board. It would raise more than $210 million once it fully takes effect late next year. The other plan, relying on the two new high-income tax brackets instead of one, would raise about half of that, according to state officials. So you see other Democrats starting to publicly support the wide-based plan for a couple reasons. First, it brings in more money, like we just talked about. And second, because they say it's more recession-proof. When Delaware goes through another economic downturn, eventually, they want to be sure that they won't be taking a bigger hit and having to figure out new ways to cover any kind of projected shortfall.
So where do we stand on GOP support for either of these plans or any kind of personal income tax hike?
Yeah, it's still not popular. So on Thursday, House and Senate Republicans were meeting within their own caucuses for hours outside of when they typically do so. We're talking early in the morning, in between sessions of the legislature, things like that. So I spoke with a couple of leaders who say negotiations with Democrats are still productive and ongoing, but they say that they want some kind of solid concession from Democrats if they're going to offer up any votes to raise taxes. I'm told changes to prevailing wage continue to come up, even after Democratic lawmakers and Governor Carney said that they were non-starters. So needless to say, I mean, it's going to be a long June 30th if they don't come up with anything soon.
There were also a bevy of sin taxes that moved out of House committee, alcohol, cigarette, e-cigs. How much are they expected to help, and do they have support?
Yeah, they're not really expected to help in the long term in any sort of sustaining way. So the revamped alcohol tax would raise about $7 million a year, with cigarette and, tobacco and, tobacco product taxes clocking in at roughly $17 million. Lawmakers seem less likely to support these ideas because they're worried about losing business near the borders. They also say the increase isn't all that significant when you're talking about a $4.1 billion budget. And according to House Speaker Pete Schwarzkopf, the idea came out of these backroom negotiations with Republicans, and he's not necessarily interested in running the bills if he doesn't have to.
Coastal Zone Act revision bill advanced through the House pretty easily, but there were some amendments to that, including one that involved one of the more controversial areas, the bulk transfer items. Can you tell us what that does?
Yeah, so just quickly, when we talk about bulk products, we're talking about the big thing that environmentalists point to is oil, but it can be any kind of loose material commodity on a ship like gravel or grain. So what this amendment does is prevent businesses from setting up a depot along the shoreline. They couldn't, for instance, just bring in oil from land or sea or rail, whatever you have, without using it in some way. Now, this doesn't prevent the Delaware City Oil Refinery from applying for a permit to ship out their products, since they obviously convert crude oil into different sort of products. Overall, the bill's sponsor was just trying to ease concerns over storing any kind of bulk products along the coastline. So that bill just needs Senate approval and Governor Carney's signature to become law.
It kind of harkens back to there was an issue, I guess it was back late 90s, early 2000s, about liquefied natural gas in a port over across in New Jersey. It seems like that's kind of an echo of that. So it's something that people had some concerns about. An amendment was made for it. Bill dismantling DDO, also now headed to the Senate. Again, a couple of amendments to deal with issues attached to that. What did they do?
One of them outlines a few conflict of interest requirements for the public-private partnership. For instance, board members would have to disclose any potential conflicts that the board is considering or will be voting on. And if they don't, they could be kicked out. The Second Amendment specifies what kinds of people will sit on the 15-member board. The governor co-chairs the group. A couple lawmakers are going to sit on it from the House and Senate. The governor then appoints at least a dozen more people, with half of them having to be recommended by influential business groups. We're talking Chamber of Commerce, Business Roundtable. It also doesn't require that board members pay any money for their seat, but it doesn't say it's forbidden either.
And finally, anything below the radar, things that have been kind of overshadowed by all these other issues, and specifically the budget that we should be hearing about or should know about?
I mean, there are always a few. One issue that's been somewhat controversial recently was this change in how charter schools give enrollment preferences. So a lot of people have complained about Newark Charter's five-mile circle for a while now. A bill that just needs Governor Carney's signature would eliminate that and force charters to use their home school districts as a preference if they want any kind of geographically based one. The rub here is that it specifically excludes the non-contiguous portion of Christina School District district within Wilmington. So those kids would have little realistic chance of getting into Newark Charter without a preference, since the waiting list is over 3,000 kids. City lawmakers tried to unify the two bits of Christina in the bill twice, but got shot down both times. Kearney staff says they're reviewing the bill, but it's unclear if it will get signed.
All right. Well, we will see you one more time next week after the end of session. James Dawson, thanks for being here.
Glad to be here.